The Leafs are making moves, Dave. Well, maybe not the moves that we're all hoping for, but a couple of front office changes to tell you guys about today in Maple Leaf land. And we're going to dissect some of the Leafs that are still remaining in the playoffs and see who are we rooting for most to win a Stanley Cup. And everyone's favorite, Cosign No Sign, coming at you today. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited for today's show. Let's get it started here on Locked On Leafs.
You're Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host Dave Morsuti from Sportsnet, also a writer from the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast, so be sure to subscribe for free wherever you get your podcast from. You can also now catch us on video form on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe there. Leave a comment, review, all that good stuff, and it'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. Before we get going on to today's show, and it's going to be an exciting one, we're going to talk about some Leafs front office changes that are going to be occurring, and what I think, I don't know, there could be some underlying storylines within this. We'll get to it in a second. We're also going to discuss, you know, some of the players still kicking around that have Maple Leafs ties that we might be rooting for in the playoffs. And then Cosign No Sign coming up in just a little bit. But before we get to all of that, David, you told me that you ran into a couple of people when you were at the Leafs playoff party a couple of weeks ago, which this has been a couple of weeks now. Why are you waiting so long to bring this up? You said that you were talking to some people who listened to the pod. You wanted to give them a special shout out.
I am the worst at remembering things. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just so much on the brain. Leafs losing also did not help with the soul. But yes, special shout out to my friend. They were sitting right beside me, Anna and Nestor. They were hype all game long. They were just cheering the Leafs all game long. They are the type of people that we try to reach out to on this podcast. I want to give them a special shout out because we're trying to recruit people to listen to the podcast. We don't just do it through the traditional social media platforms. We got to get out there in the community.
The old word of mouth.
It's funny how many, you know, we try our, I mean, look, Mike, I'm sure many people, you have probably been recognized going out. I'm trying to help the podcast in that regard. Unfortunately, I don't have the Al's brother, you know, back. I don't have the backing of an Al's brother to get recognized.
You didn't win a 40-meter dash on live television against a former pro NHLer. You didn't do that, did you?
No, and no. I will never, ever
do that. I did that. This guy right here. That's right. I did. And then I lost in the 200 meter. 200 meters, listen, I'll be honest with you. Hell of a lot farther than I thought. It's like 40 meters. Like, okay, yeah, I did that one. 200 meters. When I got to like, I don't know, probably about 160th meter or so, like that last 50, I was so gassed. And like, I was gunning it right from the get-go. Anyways, totally off topic. But shout out was Nestor and
Anna.
Nestor and Anna, shout out. And if you see either of us in public, David or myself, and you're a listener to the pod, please stop us and let us know. I would love to just have a chat, a conversation with you. I ran into somebody at the bar, actually, on my birthday a couple weeks ago, who was an Al's brother fan. And he said it also listens to the pod. His name was Justin. So shout out to you, Justin, for being a big fan of my content and of this show. All right, let's get into it today because we've got a couple of things that we want to get into. But the Leafs kind of they made some front office moves. A couple of members have parted ways. Now, it's not who you maybe were thinking it would or were hoping it was if you were part of the Fire Dubas clan, because he's still around and I would imagine he will be around for quite some time. But a couple of kind of lower level management kind of player evaluation scouts and analysts and development guys kind of getting let go today. There's kind of conflicting reports. They may have parted ways / got let go. However you want to look at it, they're no longer with the organization. These two guys is Jim Palafito and Cam Charron. Let's start with talking about Jim a little bit. He was the senior director of player evaluation. He'd been with the club since May of 2015, brought in by Brandon Shanahan and Mark Hunter. Mark Hunter was part of the brass that brought him in as well. So I don't know if that's telling or not, the fact that he was a Hunter guy as opposed to a Dubas guy. However, Dubas did promote him to, he was just the director of player evaluation, got promoted to senior director in 2019 under Kyle Dubas. So I don't know if we can necessarily look into that. But what he's most known for, Dave, is being the Russian free agent whisperer. Ilya Mikheyev, Nikita Zaitsev, Alex Barabanov, Mikko Lehtinen. I'm pretty sure, what was his name? Odigazanov, something like the defenseman. Ozhiganov, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Sure. We used to call him Odogonov at TSN all the time. Because didn't he wear number 92 or something like that as a defenseman? Yes, I don't know.
Yes, he did.
Exactly. So we'll call him Odogonov for a little bit. So I never actually remember his actual name. But he was the one who kind of found these guys while they were putting around in the KHL, and he got to know them, and he really is the one who convinced them to sign with Toronto. Now, we know that they didn't all necessarily work out all too well. Mikko Lehtinen had a cup of coffee before getting traded out. Zaitsev played well in his first year, but then became a bit of an anchor once he signed that big contract, and he got shipped out of town. And Barabanov didn't really get an opportunity in Toronto, then get shipped out of good faith to San Jose. All of a sudden, he's looking great in their top six. And he is a guy who the Maple Leafs definitely could have used in the playoffs. He signs a long-term contract. So that was a good player, just didn't quite fit, I guess, with the Maple Leafs. But Ilya Mikheyev, I guess, would be kind of the breadwinner type of player that Jim Palafito did bring in. You know, the fact that this is what he's known for, bringing in these Russian free agents. I wonder, like, is that still going to be something that's a point of something that they're going to be targeting at this point? I don't know if the war has anything to do with it, if the fact that none of these guys are still with the team anymore. So there's no more ties to Jim Palafito. I mean, Ilya Mikheyev, I wonder what this means for him. Somebody who he respects a lot, clearly was the bridge between the Leafs and Mikheyev to bring him back overseas. Now that he's a free agent, I wonder if this means anything for his contract negotiations.
No, it's interesting because I think it also has a lot to do with Dan Milstein, his agent, too. Like it seems like a lot of the Russians the Leafs do bring in, he represents them.
They're all with Dan Milstein.
Like, they're pretty much like 95, like let's say 97% are with Dan Milstein. I don't know if there is going to be, you know, like we already know that this is going to be a tough negotiation for the Leafs anyways, because Mikheyev obviously has a thought about what his role is, and money is going to be a part of that, right? You don't get many chances to make big in free agency. This is Mikheyev's true chance. And yeah, maybe this is a sign the Leafs are going to try something new, but also like the Leafs know what Mikheyev is. Like Jim Palafito did what he did to bring him in. I think at this point, Kyle Dubas and company know what they're getting with him. I don't think they need Palafito there to do the negotiations, but yeah, it is a curious move to say the least.
Well, I just wonder if going forward, if maybe they're not as keen, and that was the word I was looking for before, not as keen on focusing on KHL talent as maybe they once did, as you know, free agents that they were looking to bring in from outside of North America, and unless they have somebody else who they're going to replace them with, which perhaps they do already, and it just hasn't been announced. But there's another KHL free agent that's coming up this summer, Andrei Kuzmenko, who I remember hearing earlier in the season, he has like, I think it was upwards of like 23 teams or something like that looking at this guy. And the Maple Leafs were one of them. So I wonder if this has any bearing on those negotiations. If Palifito would have been one of the guys who would have been able to, you know, convince Kuzmenko to sign with the Leafs, and now that they, you know, don't have this guy who's the Russian whisperer, maybe he's not a player who the Leafs will go after as hard as maybe we once thought he would, because he's someone who could fit in this team's top nine. You know, I think that's what he's expected to be, a, you know, playmaking, scoring winger. I wonder what that means for that as well.
It will be, yeah, like, you have to find ways to get creative with how you add players. The Leafs haven't, unfortunately, been able to get as many through the drafting and development process, so they've had to kind of accelerate it by getting guys that kind of already have the development part down. But yeah, the Leafs are going to have a lot of stiff competition for them. They've seemed to find ways to get guys that a lot of teams are after. I don't know how much of that is because of the guys that they had in the front office, or if that's just the reputation. Do the Leafs have the Leafs do have a bit of a reputation with these Russian players? Whether that changes, that's going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, because Jim Palifito, the outgoing front office member, was a big part of establishing those relationships with those players. So we'll see what happens going forward, and if Toronto becomes big players in the Russian free agent market with him leaving the organization. And then Cam Charon, another guy who's leaving, a hockey research and development analyst. He'd been with the team since 2014, kind of an analytics type of guy. Also, apparently he was like the editor in chief or something like that at the is it Maple Leafs Hot Stove?
The Leafs Nation.
Yeah, Leafs Nation. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, I've heard his name. I read a lot of his stuff trying to understand the analytics part of hockey, and he was like the go-to guy for the longest time. And then,
yeah, years ago when it first kind of started to become a little mainstream.
And then he got hired, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Like, the Leafs have a pretty, like, big investment in analytics, right? Yeah. So, like, this isn't – it's a whole team. It's not just, like, one guy
doing
all of it. Maybe some are saying maybe he goes back to home in Vancouver, because I believe he's originally from Vancouver. Canucks are making a lot of changes to their front office, and they're trying to bring in guys with different, you know, skill sets and different approaches. So that could be a situation there. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that for sure, where he lands, and maybe other additions the Leafs decide they want to make.
Yep, and we'll obviously keep you updated as we go. Like I said, it's a 365 day year round Leafs podcast, so. I mean, we got to take it's low hanging fruit to talk about these minor moves in the front office, but the Leafs podcast, they've been eliminated for a little bit, and I think it's just worthy of having these conversations. You know, give these guys, you know, some cred, some stuff that they've been doing, and maybe it does make some change. You never know what ends up happening with these guys in the future, or potentially what the jobs openings that it creates that could help the Maple Leafs in the future as well. All right. Why don't we take a quick break? When we get back, we'll get into that discussion of which former Maple Leafs player are you, Dave? And I will also answer as well. And you can also answer too. Why don't you go ahead and answer that down below in the comment section. Let us know which former Maple Leaf player, well, let's stick it to core players, are you rooting the hardest for to win a championship? Is it Kadri with Colorado? Is it Fred Anderson with the Carolina Hurricanes? Are you rooting on Zach Hyman for the Edmonton Oilers? Let us know down in the comment section below which former Maple Leaf you want to see their name etched on Lord Stanley's mug this year. Let us know. And before we tell you our answers, let me tell you guys about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidated questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders your parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You got the computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer, and they got everything you need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano, got Dave Morisuti with me. We're your hosts here at Locked On Leafs, a daily Maple Leafs podcast. We got new content coming out via audio form wherever you get your pods, and also via video format on YouTube. Make sure you are subscribed there. We're still on our road to 1,000, Dave. Still on our road to 1,000. We're up over, 830 subs, I think we're at last night. Somewhere in the 830s.
I think we're in the 840s now.
Are we? Maybe in the 840s. Beautiful. And once we get to 1,000, we're giving away a Maple Leafs jersey. So make sure you sub up if you haven't yet. That'd be fantastic. And hey, word of mouth, tell people about the podcast. Let your other friends know, the other Leafs fanatics. We want to grow this community. Another great way that we've been able to grow this community is with our Discord. Dave, why don't you tell the good folks about the Discord channel that we've started and have been using to talk with the fans?
Yeah, it's a great way to take it. It's basically I compared to an extension of the podcast, right? We want to keep the conversation going as much as possible. We don't want, we do these episodes every day. I get that. But we want to continue the conversation elsewhere. And we also want to get you guys involved in the conversation as well, right? The podcast isn't for Mike and I. The podcast is for you, the fans, those who want all that Leafs content.
Leafs Nation. It's for Leafs Nation.
We should call it like the Leafs Nation Discord. I don't even know if that's been taken yet. If it hasn't,
it's the Locked On Leafs Discord channel.
Well, it is.
That's what it is. So we don't need to call it anything. Call it the Locked On Leafs Discord channel. Yes. Where you're locked on the Leafs all the time.
Exactly. David. You're locked in and we're not letting you go.
No, you're not. All right.
You guys are stuck with us.
So I posed the question before we went to break quickly. You know, which former Leafs core player are you rooting hardest for to win a championship? Answer the question, Dave. I'll let you go first. Which player are you rooting for the hardest to win?
It's Nazem Kadri. I'll give you a couple reasons why. One, I think the way it ended in Toronto was unfortunate. He was made a scapegoat for those two Bruins losses, especially the one where he got suspended and pretty much ended his time in Toronto. I felt like he was a bit of a scapegoat for, really, as we can now see, it was not Nazem Kadri's fault that the Leafs have been unsuccessful in the playoffs. So I feel like he was given kind of the wrong end of the shtick here in Toronto. So that's the one reason. The other reason, if there's a team, and look, I'm predicting Tampa's likely going to the Cup final, guys. If there's a team that likely is going to give the best chance to beat the Lightning, it's the Colorado Avalanche. So, and I don't want the three-peat. As much as some people like history, no.
So Zach Bogosian's not part of your former Maple Leafs who you want to win the title?
No, he left the Leafs for Florida. He left for a rival. That jerk. He does not deserve happiness.
Yeah. I fully agree with you on that one. On the ice, he can have all the happiness he wants off the ice, but on the ice, no. I mean, Nazem Kadri, I think, is the easy answer there. I agree with you. Just, he's a guy who loved being a Maple Leaf, and you just look at how hard that guy plays. You know that a Stanley Cup would mean so much to a player like that. But I guess I'll just play a little devil's advocate for a second. I mean, what Zach Hyman is doing with Edmonton right now is just fantastic. I mean, Hyman was all a guy who wanted to come back, and he got squeezed out of Toronto due to salary cap reasons, right? So he's another guy where it's like he wanted to come back. If they could afford to pay him the contract that he wanted, which was less than what he signed in Edmonton, he would have came back, but they were unable to make that happen, and he had to go elsewhere and do what's good for, himself and his family, set him up financially. But ultimately, I mean, what the Edmonton Oilers are doing right now is just unbelievable. I mean, at the time I recorded this podcast, They're through 20 minutes in game number four. They're up 3-0. And Zach Hyman has a goal in his fourth straight game. He's got 5 goals so far through the 4 games in this series against the Calgary Flames. It's absolutely unbelievable what the Edmonton Oilers are doing. I thought this was going to be a five-game series, 5-6 games max. And I thought that was going to be the Flames taking it in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Man, what – I mean, not just obviously Hyman. He's not the catalyst. It's clearly the Connor McDavid show most nights. But, like, Hyman is also looking like an absolute star, like a stud in these playoffs. And I would not be upset also if he ended up going on to win a Stanley Cup. And if Hyman wins, that means that Cody Ceci wins a cup. That means that Tyson Barrie also would win a cup as well.
I'm twitching. If you can't tell right now, Mike, it's kind of
I would assume most people wouldn't really care if Cody Ceci won a Stanley Cup or Tyson Barrie, for that matter. But Zach Hyman, I mean, if it meant that Hyman gets to hoist the cup over his head, I think you would be okay with those two also winning it on the same night.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of the Oilers winning a cup either.
I don't know, man. I'm starting to get on board. I'll be honest with you.
McDavid deserves a chance to, you know, be.
You want to see McDavid versus Vasilevsky in a Stanley Cup final?
It'd be an interesting storyline. Yeah, it would be. I just don't know if I see the Oilers being able to match what the Lightning could put out top to bottom. That's the other problem. And
dude, I thought the same thing against the Flames, and they're out here killing them.
You know what it is? I'll give the Oilers credit. They found a way to score 6 on Markstrom, even though they lost because they allowed 9. But they said to themselves, we can score 6 on a goalie that was unbeatable in that first round against Dallas. And from that point on,
Shook them.
They shook them. And I think the Flames relied too much on Markstrom, and it's proven to be costly. Maybe the Oilers have figured out a way to get past the elite goaltending. So maybe they could do it against Vasilevsky. I just don't know if the rest of the Lightning would agree with that.
Well, here's why I think that it's – I mean, the defense is – the defense and goaltending of Edmonton is clearly questionable, and that's where you could see the Lightning feast. Yeah. But in terms of offense – they struggled a little bit with speed sometimes. The Lightning did, especially against the Maple Leafs, and that's a team with speed, right? The Edmonton Oilers. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. They still got to go through Calgary, and then they've got a battle with most likely Colorado, who's up 3-1 in that series. No Fred Anderson. You could care less if Freddie wins a cup.
No, because first off, I don't even know if Freddie Anderson's going to play because he's still.
Yeah.
I know he's close to returning. It's just can you turn to? I know now after losing game 4, the Hurricanes can have the excuse to go to Freddie if he's ready. But yeah, look, Freddie was a good goalie for the Leafs, but he wasn't spectacular. It didn't end well either. I kind of felt like he took shots at the team, especially in that last year. He kind of was making excuses. Like, I understand he was not healthy. I don't begrudge him for that, but there are times he took some shots and he didn't really take as much ownership for his play as I thought he should have. So also Carolina, I'm not high on their chances.
Yeah.
Their team, they haven't won a single road game in the playoffs.
Isn't that crazy? Are they 6-0 or maybe 5-0? They're 6-0 at home, 0-5 on the road.
You have to find a way to do it in the playoffs. They're not going to have home ice forever.
They will.
They win if they make it to the Eastern Conference Final, but in the Cup Final, if they play, let's say, the Avs,
Colorado.
They don't have it. So
right. If they play the Oilers, they will.
They would.
All right. Yeah, so I think we're on the same page. Nazem Kadri, I think that's the guy that we're rooting for at Locked On Leafs. I guess we're kind of jumping on the Avs bandwagon a little bit and hoping they win. Because if they win, that also means that, you know, Mikko Rantanen wins. I'm a fan of the way that that guy plays. Gabe Landeskog's a great player. I love watching Cale Makar. That dude is just otherworldly as a defenseman. It's actually insane what that guy can do. And you know, Nathan MacKinnon, good Canadian boy from out east, good Nova Scotian kid. And I would love to see that guy who's got a lot of passion and fire inside him be able to hoist the cup. I like the redemption story of a Valeri Nichushkin as well. They've got some guys who you can root for. So I kind of like what we're seeing out of Colorado. So yeah, I'm hopping on the Colorado train, but mainly because I want to see Naz get himself a Stanley Cup, and then we'll see what happens in free agency. Maybe a reunion back in Toronto. Just kidding. I doubt that that happens, but maybe someday down the line. That I know that guy is going to get paid, and hopefully he can get his Stanley Cup out of the way so that he doesn't have to go on the cup chasing journey, you know, later in his career. Okay, really quickly, I saw this clip of this man who was in a Team Sweden jersey pop up on my feed today. I don't know who this guy is, Dave. The letters on the back of the jersey spell out Nylander.
It has the number 88.
But like, this guy's going around acting like he's Ryan Reeves out here, just throwing around the body. For those who are on YouTube, you can watch the video that we have up here. I'll kind of explain it, I guess, for those who are listening. You can hit play there, Dave. But Nylander just coming in, boom, lays a big old hit along the boards there in a bit of a net front battle, goes, lays another hit behind the net. Like, this guy came out here and he's just laying body checks. He's winning board battles. Boom. Rocks another dude, sends him down to the ground, and then hustles a back check and decks another guy.
Like, where is this guy coming from?
Like, who this guy? I know it says Nylander on the back of the sweater. It's got number 88, but this isn't the William Nylander that I know. And let me ask you, Dave, if William Nylander, do you think it's possible that the reason why he decided to go to, we could take this down now.
Yeah. I just want to keep watching Willie smash.
I know, it's pretty sweet. The reason why potentially Nylander decided to go to Team Sweden was to work on his game, and not his skills, but to work on how he can kind of intertwine that aggression into his game while also making sure that the skill doesn't wane off, but doing it in a you know, in the world championships where you're not going to say it doesn't matter, because it does. You're playing for your country. It still does matter, but it's not the same as playing in the Stanley Cup finals or Stanley Cup playoffs, where you can't really reinvent your game on the fly. Like, do you think that had anything to do with him deciding to go and play some more hockey this summer? Like, I was a little surprised when I heard he was going to go play, but now I'm watching, like, maybe that was his whole intention to go and play a different rugged style of hockey and see how it goes, and see if he can carry that into the NHL next spring or next fall.
So as I'm doing my explanation, I'm just going to keep this on a loop here of Nylander absolutely sniping a beautiful goal. I think
he also had the game winner as well. So not only is he out there laying hits, looking like this guy was Ryan Reeves out here, Jacob Trouba or something, he was also sniping Genos and had the lone goal in Sweden's 1-0 win today over Latvia.
Like, I think, first off, I think he loves playing in this tournament. He's played in the past. He was the MVP.
Yeah, 2017, I think it was. It was right before he actually broke out, if you recall. Yeah. And he switched his number. He was 88 there, and then he came back, and he switched his number back to 88, and then he had, like, his 30-goal season, and he broke out in the NHL.
So I think part of it is, he likes playing for Sweden. He likes playing in the tournament. But, yeah, I think he's probably not satisfied with the way the season ended. Look, he doesn't get the spotlight or of Matthews and Marner. He is the third guy, even behind Tavares in most cases. So, you know, we didn't really get to hear a lot about Willie and his thoughts on his season and what happened after that. I think that he's a guy that there's going to be a lot of questions about him going forward, right? I think if you're the Leafs, you also want to see how he's playing, right? You want to see how he's responding, and maybe there's something that they're not doing right with them. Maybe, you know, maybe that's where he should be on the power play. Maybe he should be on the other side, and they got to move Matthews the other way. Like, you have to, I think Nylander, he's such a tough cookie to crack. I don't know if like that one sequence we saw was just one game where he was letting out some frustration, or is this Nylander trying to show some people that this is the style of play he can play?
Yeah, and like here's the thing. When Nylander is engaged like that, he's an elite talent. We've always kind of known that. Like when he's out there and he is back-checking and he is forechecking and he's using his body a little bit, he's engaging in board battles. He is an elite player, like a fantastic player. We already know what the skill set's all about, but it almost feels like, you know, I think Mike Babcock used to say this all the time. When you play good defense, the offense, it'll result into good offense. And I think that's kind of the stuff that, you know, we talk about sometimes when we have those discussions. It's like, yeah, when you go out there and you back check and you get the puck back for you and you go out there and, you know, you're winning board battles in your own end and you're completely engaged and then you turn up the other way and you score. You know, that's what they're talking about. And if that's what Willie could do on a consistent basis, because this isn't the first time we've seen that happen, we just rarely see it happen consistently. Like, he'll go in stretches, and that's the biggest frustrating part about William Nylander is the fact that he's such a hot and cold player. And when he's hot, man, is he ever elite. But when he's not, dude's halfway invisible. And that's what's so infuriating about Bill Nye, the hitting guy. Now,
yeah, that's the thing the Leafs are gonna have to make the determination on, right? Can he show up in those moments, or is he gonna be that guy that, where was he in a game seven, where was he certain games? So yeah, I think Nylander, this conversation is gonna go pretty rampant throughout the whole offseason, because it didn't work for him this season. Because yeah, he put up some nice stats, but he also had, as we talked about, he got moved off that second line. That's not what you want to see from a guy that, you know, yeah, in comparison to what Matthews and Marner are making, he's making peanuts, but he's also being paid to produce and be a guy with John Tavares, and he wasn't that. So you have to decide, is that money best being spent there, or do they need a different type of player? And unfortunately, when you're trying to bring in that different type of player, dollars have to come in and out, because Leafs can't just bring in a guy to be a legitimate top six who makes a certain amount of money and then also keep Nylander around as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with Billy Nye. I'm maybe tomorrow. We were going to play some Cosign No Sign, but we're running a little late, so maybe we can leave it for tomorrow. But I do have a William Nylander-related question. So we'll get into this again tomorrow. We'll kind of pick up from where we left off with this conversation. We'll get into it, and we'll get into the rest of the Cosign No Signs. There was also a discussion to be had. I know that you found a clip earlier, some discourse surrounding one John Gibson and the potential of him becoming a Maple Leaf. We'll get into that tomorrow as well. We got tons of time to talk about the next couple of months as the offseason goes on. But I think that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasting platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mick_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_Morisuti. And also follow us and subscribe on YouTube. Leave a like, a comment on YouTube, and a review also if you're listening on iTunes. That'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow, guys. We're going to play some Cosign No Sign and get into whatever else is going on in the NHL. It's Maple Leafs. I'm sure there's going to be some breaking news tomorrow. Sounds like there is some breaking news, actually, on a new women's league. So perhaps we can kind of get into that at some point. Perhaps we can try and get Haley Salvian, who broke that story, try and get her on the pod at some point this week and go over that. The PWHPA looks like they're getting something worked out, which is a positive sign for women's hockey. So maybe that's what we'll have on deck at some point, if not later this week, then next week for sure. But that'll do it for today. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. But until then, keep locked right here on Locked On Leafs.